Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched our 95th movie.
Unbelievable.
In our countdown to 100, we watched a mom favorite.
Absolutely.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It's rated G. It's from 1968.
Yep.
This is a long one. It's 2 hours and 24 minutes long.
Yes, it was.
And it felt every minute of that.
I'm afraid so.
Directed by Ken Hughes.
Right.
What is all this? I don't close all this.
Oh my goodness. It's considered a musical fantasy movie.
I haven't opened my computer in a couple days. It's
all new for you.
It got a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I did see that.
It got 64 on Metascore, which I think is low, even for Metascore.
Yes.
And a 7 out of 10 on IMDb, which is low. Because this is a great movie. Every child should see this movie.
I guess.
Because I haven't seen it since I was a child.
Yes.
And I really do think that seeing it with a child's eyes and, you know, that child wonder is a way different experience than watching it as jaded adult.
Yes. Because like you had said numerous times, oh, look at the green screen.
Yeah, because you could really see it. But, you know, as a kid, who knew that stuff was a thing? I thought they were in a flying car.
You absolutely never would have seen any of that as a kid.
No.
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
Yep. And we have to remember, we're used to CGI, top quality CGI. They didn't even have it back then. So green screen was it.
I have a budget. I have two numbers for the budget.
Did see budget numbers, but I was not really convinced that they were what I was looking at. Go ahead.
One said about $10 million.
Okay, I did see that.
And another said about $12 million.
Yes, I saw both of those numbers.
And I saw a worldwide gross of only $7.5 million.
Yes, but the home box office was broken out. So I think that DVDs, VCR, Blu-ray, all that stuff was not included in that number.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm not going to tell you that's exactly what it was, but I think that that's what it was.
Okay.
So, yeah. Because it said, you know, I had read that it had lost money. How could a movie like this lose money?
I don't know.
But I guess
maybe it came out, you know, with like a Spartacus or something like that. Did you write anything about that?
I did not.
You know, maybe it came out with, you know, fucking, what's the movie where he parts the Red Sea?
Oh, the Bible?
No, not that one.
Moses?
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
You know that movie where he parts the Red Sea?
Yes.
It's about the Bible, but it's not the Bible.
It'll come out about that time, yeah. Well, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe something like that. But I did see in the trivia that reviews were fairly negative.
Yes.
Which, okay.
Because it was too long, I think.
Oh.
Because that was even mentioned a couple of times. A couple of people mentioned that it was too long.
It is really long.
But how could you have condensed this any?
Well, we could have taken away some of the stuff at the Potts home. We didn't need to be at the Potts home that much.
That's true. That's true. I see that, but
and,
yeah.
And the whole montage at the beach could have been cut down.
Absolutely.
And then the trip to Bulgaria could have been condensed a little.
Right.
So, yeah, they could have tightened it up a little bit.
Different time. In 1968, when this was made, it was a whole different time. We didn't think the way we thought. And, you know, it was different. It was a nice movie then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could have been cut shorter here and there. But, you know, would it have worked as well? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. The basic plot synopsis of this, and this is like, again, this isn't really, this is like the best one I could find that wasn't seven paragraphs long.
Yes.
So it's a down on his luck inventor turns broken down Grand Prix car into a fancy vehicle for his children, and they go off on a magical fantasy adventure to save their grandpa in a far off land. Which I,
yeah. That's part of it, but it didn't talk about finding love.
Well, that's just a happy accident.
Oh, okay. Okay. I like that thought.
Because how many times did Truly Scrumptious drive past his house before they met?
Right. But after they met, how many times did she land in the pond?
Every time.
True. True.
Somebody got some cookies, so he's all...
Oh. Oh, and that butter smells real good.
Well, this had a pretty big cast.
It did.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yes.
Sally Ann Howes. Lionel Jeffries. Heather Ripley. Adrian Hall. Gert Frobe. Anna Quayle. Benny Hill. James Robert Justice. And Robert Heltman are the main faces you'll recognize.
Right. Plus a cast of thousands.
Oh, my God. All those children.
Yes. And all those army men. I just, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was originally a children's book written by Ian Fleming of the James Bond fame.
Yeah, he wrote all the James Bonds.
And he wrote it for he wrote it as a children's story. He told his son these bedtime stories back in 1964 when his son was little. And the original name of the book is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, The Magical Car.
Okay.
And it still sells today. You can still buy that book.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was, I think that's a fun story where, you know, somebody writes a book just because they were telling their child a story.
Yeah, how many other children's books are like that?
Exactly. And Ken Hughes, the director, worked in feature films from 1952 to 1981. And some of his notable films were Casino Royale.
Oh, that's James Bond.
Yep, he did a bunch of James Bond stuff. I think this whole... You know, as I read into things, there's a lot of James Bond influence in here.
Yeah.
And so I guess that they felt that they had a good team, and that that's what they were. Of course, that's what you're looking for when you're trying to do a movie.
Yeah.
Perfect team. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was produced by Albert R. Broccoli, the man who produced all the James Bonds.
All of them, yeah.
I believe the James Bond franchise is still in the Broccoli family hands.
I believe his daughter is, and I think I have something about that. His daughter is now doing...
James Bonds.
Doing anything James Bond.
I'm champing at the bit. To see who's going to be the next James Bond.
Oh my gosh, they keep talking about it. Who do you think it is going to be?
I'm rooting for Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's a little bit younger than the past Bonds have been.
Okay. But is he as handsome?
He is handsome.
Okay.
Right. He was kick-ass. He was in this summer's 28 Years Later. He played the dad character.
Don't recognize it at all.
Let me find a picture of him. There's a little bit of scandal around him.
Uh-oh.
Because he's got a really old wife.
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
No. And they have children together. His wife is like 20 years older than him.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they've been married for like 20 years. So, like... He's only about my age.
Wow. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I think he's handsome. I think he looks good with facial hair. I think he looks good without facial hair. He does good in an action movie.
Oh, my. He is pretty.
He may or may not be English. I think he's English.
Wow. Ooh, he has that look of him, too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. His wife, she's a director. She is. She's like 20 years older than him, and it's gross.
No, it's not.
Oh, he's only 35. I thought he was a little bit older.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So maybe they've only been together 15 years, but still... A real long time for a man that's only 35.
Okay, well, you know what? Why can't somebody young stay together with somebody who's older?
Well, you know.
I know.
It,
2025 doesn't work that way.
You know, we don't blink an eye when an older male boss gets with a young female subordinate. We don't blink an eye at that. But when a woman does it, we have something to talk about. I think it's gross either way. I don't care. Gross.
Yeah.
Find somebody your own age.
Well, when you're 60, you shouldn't be with a 30-year-old having a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Not at all.
Yeah.
And how many times have we seen that?
Ugh. Gross.
Yeah, I agree.
So that might be the only thing that takes him out of it is the little bit of scandal around them, not him.
Oh, I don't think that should matter at all. He's got that look.
He does. He's a handsome man.
Wow. James Bond has that look. Every James Bond that has had that look.
Yeah. I've also heard Idris Elba's name in there. And while he's on the older side, Idris Elba is a good-looking man.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But yeah, I think
he's
a
English,
little old.
But Daniel Craig is in his 50s. Well, he's probably closer to 60 than not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, boy. Well, we'll find out soon enough.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
That's my vote for the next James Bond, in case anybody asks.
Okay. I did ask.
Yeah.
I have nobody because, I don't know anybody new now. Although those two sound good to me.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Any young hot guys on your English mysteries?
Oh, gosh, yeah. No, not that I could think of that are like James Bond material. No. I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
They're all mostly pretty boys.
Yeah, there's an actor that he's got a look about him that, you know, he could steal your girl, he could steal your boy if he wanted to.
Yeah.
He's just got that look, but I don't know if he could be an action guy.
Oh.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, James Bond has to be a guy that can steal your lover and be an action guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. I'd have to really start looking into that.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right.
Yeah, that's Jonathan Rhys Meyers. He has the look that just... He could dazzle anybody's pants off, but... I don't know, you know...
That he is...
I don't know if he could be an action guy.
Okay. Well...
He looks a good bad guy, though.
You just never know.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Sure.
All right.
If they ever get to it. It feels they've been talking about the next James Bond for the last 10 years.
Yes. It has been a while, I think. But it doesn't matter. It'll come around if it does.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to Ken Hughes.
Sure.
Director. He is from Liverpool.
Okay.
Moved to London as a youngster. He won an amateur film contest at age 14 around 1936 while he was working as a projectionist. I thought, don't they all start really early?
Yeah, usually.
At 16, he went to work at the BBC as a technician and worked up to a sound engineer. And I know that's an important job in, you know, broadcasting and stuff. Then in 1941, he began making documentaries and short films, as well as training films. Remember, we talked about
Training films. Herc Harvey.
Yeah. Yes. He made those for the Ministry of Defense.
Boy.
So those must have been, you know, pretty big time stuff. Then in 1952, he first directed a B-movie.
Okay.
Called Wide Boy. I couldn't find anything about it.
Oh.
Okay. You know, I think that that's kind of lost to the past. Then in 1954, he made a film called The House Across the Lake for Hammer.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought you'd be impressed with that.
Yeah.
1955, he shared an Emmy for writing a TV play called Teddy that starred Mickey Rooney. Thought, holy cow, Mickey Rooney in 55 was big.
Yeah.
During the late 50s, he worked at Columbia. It was on the Warwick films. I don't know exactly what that was. But he did two films. And then in 1960, he did movies and TV, both in the U.S. and England.
Okay.
In 1968, he co-wrote and directed this movie, which was kind of a success, but kind of not. You know, one of those people liked it, but it wasn't all that critically acclaimed.
Okay.
And he said it was a movie that he enjoyed making. You had found something contrary to that, didn't you?
Yeah. What did it say? Ken Hughes reportedly hated the finished film. And Ken Hughes was a curious choice as director. as he had no experience in musicals or any experience working with children. And he had poor working relationships with several cast members and the crew, later admitting he did not enjoy the experience.
Interesting. But he kept on working. In 1968, he decided he was going to sell his production company. Because he had his other films.
Okay.
But really, none of those panned out very well. And he was unable to continue in show business.
Oh, my God.
Then in 1970, in bankruptcy court, he said that the film industry collapsed and had not recovered. He had to sell everything to pay his tax bills and stuff. And he just went flat. Nothing.
Oh my God.
He had to sell just literally everything he had to pay for his taxes and any bills he had. Which I don't, in 1970, I think that movies and stuff were okay, but I don't know. Maybe he wasn't very good with his money, you know?
Yeah, or maybe he had a reputation and people didn't want to work with him.
Maybe, yeah, absolutely. But then in 1978, he did Mae West's last film, Sextet.
Okay.
So, big name like Mae West, that can pull you up by your bootstraps. And then his last film was in 1981, slasher, I think I wrote there, called Night School.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar to you?
Nope.
I thought, what? I mean,
I'm going to look it up. You said Night School?
Night School.
Night School, 1981. Who's been decapitating the innocent girls at a local night school? The police are baffled. That's the synopsis.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. But anybody good in it? Nope.
I thought, wow, what a way to go out. I found that amazing. He was married from 1946 to 1957 to a lady called Charlotte Espen. Then in 1970 to 76, he was married to Cherry Price, and they had a daughter, Melinda, who I believe was an opera singer. I didn't write it down, but I think I read that. Then he went on in 1982 to remarry Charlotte, and they were married until his death from Alzheimer's in 2001.
Oh my God.
That's a wow. Our screenplay was written by Ken Hughes and our dear friend Roald Dahl.
Yeah, when I saw Roald Dahl's name on there, I was just like, what?
Well, I guess when you're a writer, you got to try these things. The songs were written. Do I have more about the Roald Dahl later? I hope I do. Otherwise, we're going to be bringing it back. But okay. The songs were written by the Sherman Brothers.
Okay.
And they wrote tons and tons and tons of music for movies. Just probably anything you've heard, they did it. So they're pretty good. Gosh, where did I write that? Oh, okay, I'm getting to it. When production started in 1961, Fleming had a heart attack.
My God.
And his wife confiscated his typewriter so that he would rest instead of pounding on his typewriter all day.
Okay.
So instead, he decided to write a story about a flying car that he had made into his children's nighttime story.
Okay.
And to get around his wife, he wrote the entire book in longhand.
Oh, my God.
I can't even imagine. And the book was originally published. I should have went to the library to look at this book. It was originally published as 3 volumes. And that was in 1964, posthumously.
Okay.
So between 61 and 64, he had passed. You know, but after he had written the book longhand.
Sure. Jesus.
It was
especially 3 volumes.
Yes. I should have went to look. What was that? A 400-page book?
At least.
For crying out loud.
Well, let's look it up. You keep talking, I'll look it up.
Okay. Albert Broccoli was the producer of many of Fleming's stories, the Bond stories. And he had read the book, but was not really interested in making this movie until the success of Mary Poppins. And then his ears perked up. And by the end of 1965, Earl Hammer had completed the script. Broccoli would produce. And in 67, Ken Hughes set to direct, and Roald Dahl had the screenplay. And of course, we learned from Wonka that screenplay was not Roald Dahl's strong point.
Right.
So additional writers rewrites were done by another Bond regular, Richard Melbourne, which I guess if you were into the Bond movies, he did 13 of the 16 Bond movies. So I thought, good grief, that guy is, you know, he's Bond from beginning to end. So, Dick Van Dyke took the movie after turning down Fagin, right? I can't think of the name of that. In the 1968 movie of Oliver.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I thought, wow. You know, he had just come off of Mary Poppins. I think I would have wanted to do a different movie, but he went with this movie and truly was originally offered to Julie Andrews because of the success of Mary Poppins. But Julie Andrews turned it down because it was way too much like Mary Poppins. And then Sally Ann Howes was offered the part, and she was a Broadway actress. I thought, oh, you know, we didn't even know her. Well, she was a big Broadway actress. She was fairly well known. So that's how those two got in there.
Huh.
The film locations were in England, the Isle of Wight, France, and Germany. They started this in July of 1967. I told you while we were watching the movie, that 6 Chitty Chitty Bang Bangs were created for the film with only one real car.
Yeah, one drivable car.
Yes. Okay, that is a better word, isn't it?
And I did find it on Amazon. It's 111 pages. So I guess that's not that bad.
No.
Longhand.
No. And that's not even a long book. You know, I read 200-page books all the time.
Yeah.
I don't like reading big, thick books. I lose interest too fast. Anyway, that's just me. The Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car changed hands a couple of times with the 2011 auction that it was last sold to director Peter Jackson.
Do you know who Peter Jackson is?
Yes, I do. He was the director of The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And we watched a Peter Jackson movie.
I don't think so.
Okay, because it was a familiar name to me. And, you know, I think only the directors I know about are the people we write about. So, you know, so he was somehow associated to somebody that we've saw a movie from.
Must be.
And New Zealand, I mean, that's just across the river from Australia. So,
yeah,
we know a lot of people from Australia. Directors. I don't think I know anybody anymore from Australia.
We know a director from New Zealand.
The guy with the funny name?
Yeah.
That I could never think of. I just saw him on a rerun of RuPaul's Drag Race. But anyway.
Taika Waititi is his name.
Yes. And he did a little skit there, so it was kind of cute. And I thought, oh, that is exactly what I think he would do.
Yeah.
The airship, you know, remember we saw that big old airship?
The Zeppelin?
The Zeppelin, yeah.
Okay.
That was from a drawing that Roald Dahl did. Fleming had done some drawings, but they decided that they liked Dowell's picture better, and it looked more like a replica of the British airship that, you know, when they were using airships.
Oh, okay.
And it was big. It was 112 foot long.
Oh my God.
30 foot wide and 44 foot tall. It was a real, wow. A real Zeppelin.
Well, I have some stats on the car. What did it say? It said that the movie car was 17 feet long and weighed over 2 tons.
What?
Yeah.
17 feet? That's almost as big as this room.
Yeah.
Holy cow, I didn't read that.
I think that's both of our cars end to end.
I know when they first started making cars, the engines, of course, were not compact like our engines were.
Yeah.
They were big. And a transmission would be as long as your couch. You know, the part that turned the wheels.
Yeah.
But 17 feet long. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. And it was destroyed in a freak storm that blew up and tore it to shreds.
Hit.
Just after the movie was done.
Oh, thank God for that.
But it tore it to shreds. It had been, you know, floating around for all that time, and then boom, you get a little rain and it's gone. But, you know, that's how it happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
The reception was kind of mixed. Promoted as a children's movie, but it acted more like an adult love story with music and lots of inventions. It was the 10th most popular movie in 1969, but because of the high budget, it lost $8
billion. $8 billion with a P?
$8 million. Oh my goodness, what was I saying? And Dick Van Dyke was later to say that he had signed on with the clause to get 20% of box office, and he never got a dime.
Oh shit!
But it was nominated for an Academy Award and 2 Golden Globes. So
okay,
I mean it didn't come. It wasn't unrecognized, but the critics just oh the love story was nice, but that pandered to the parents, and it was really a children's story. If it had just been a children's story, it would have been much better. Who knows? Who knows?
See that, though.
Absolutely.
You know, as a little kid, I thought it was a great movie. As an adult, I still think it's a great movie, but it definitely is more of the love story between the adults.
Right. Right, but as a kid, do you think you noticed that it was a love story?
Hell no.
No.
Oh, they were little kids hanging out in a flying car.
Right. 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 Absolutely. It's been released on VHS, CED, Betamax, Laserdiscs. In 1988, it was released on DVD in a twin set. It was a fancy one. In 2003 and in 2010, it was re-released and re-released on a Blu-ray. So it's anywhere you want to see.
We watched it on Blu-ray.
Did we?
And it was streaming in a couple weird places. An app I had to download and Pluto. I didn't want to watch the commercials on Pluto. But then I didn't want to stick around and see what kind of commercials the other weirdo app had.
Oh my God, that would have been taken forever if we had had to
had commercials? Watch
commercials. Good Lord. I never would have made it. I want to go home and have a nap now.
And listen, this is the first movie that Mom was like, you know, we don't have to watch the whole movie.
Have to tell people that.
Mom tried to cheat. So shame her.
I don't want to cheat. I just wanted to cut a little corner.
Cheater.
Okay, I'll never think that again. I never thought that before.
But this did feel excessively long.
Yeah, we've been watching this movie for about 2 days now. But we did have a lovely breakfast.
Yes.
We had eggs and sausage like they had on their breakfast table.
Yeah, their breakfast contraption.
Yeah.
Except I can't fry an egg to save my life. I love a fried egg, but I can't fry one. So we had scrambled just to save the mess.
Yeah. And the time.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to put some effort in. We talked about that the other night. You got to put effort into frying an egg.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep that temperature low. You have got to have enough fat in there to baste it. I get you.
Yeah, I'm just not good at frying an egg.
Love me a dipping egg, but I don't want to make one. That's too much like work.
Yeah.
Too much. So we just had scrambled and sausage and biscuits, and it was delicious.
And we had little hash browns, too.
Hash browns. I forgot about those. They were mighty good. I love those hash browns.
Yeah, the ones that come in the bag?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder, are those the same ones that used to come in a little box?
Yes.
But now they come in a little bag with a zip top on it. Fabulous.
Yeah.
And boy, do they get crunchy.
Oh, I bake them in my multitasker air fryer oven majig.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Delicious. Look for them in your freezer department.
Yeah. I have a little bit of trivia that we haven't talked about yet.
Okay.
Lionel Jeffries played Dick Van Dyke's father in the movie, despite being 6 months younger than Dick Van Dyke.
Makeup is everything.
I wrote Dick Van Dyke a billion times. I'm so sick of Dick Van Dyke right now. At the time of filming, Dick Van Dyke was smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. That's about 40 cigarettes.
Wow.
And he found the dance numbers demanding.
And I would think in 1967 and 8, that those were unfiltered.
Oh, yeah, diesel cigarettes?
I think that they would have been, yes.
Probably.
Wow.
Singer Phil Collins claims that he was one of the children storming the castle
huh?
at the film's ending. but was edited out due to a large, unsightly bandage on his head that was covering a cyst. Now, I looked real hard in that throng of children, and I didn't see anybody with a weird head bandage.
No, I didn't either.
So I feel like Phil Collins would have been a little too old in 1968.
No, there looked like there were some 10, 12, 13-year-olds in there. 12,
not 18, 19, 20. How old's Phil Collins?
Oh, golly. You got your phone out?
Yeah, I'm looking at
my phone. I know that he was a child actor. He did do that. That is legit. I have heard that before.
1951. So he would have been 17. He would have been a little old.
Yeah.
But he's a small guy. So I don't, you know, maybe that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Why didn't they put a wig on him or something?
I don't know. Just lance that cyst.
Yeah. Squeeze it a little.
Yeah, it's not hard. I got rid of one on my own head. It's fine. I went to the doctor to have it lanced, and she's like, oh, it's looking at your moles. And I'm like, I came here to get a cyst lanced. And she's just like, well, you have to make another appointment for that. And I was just like, doing that.
Oh,
I came here to pay you to do it.
Oh, my God.
So I ended up doing it myself. I got some gross shit out of my head. It was disgusting.
Yikes.
This is Heather Ripley's only feature film. She played Jemima.
Mm-hmm.
And she does not like talking about making this film because her parents divorced during the filming.
Oh no.
So this is a non-topic for her, and she has never acted again.
Oh wow. That was a traumatic experience for her then.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Benny Hill was first brought on to the project to help rewrite some scenes at the request of Dick Van Dyke.
Yes.
A young Benny Hill.
Yes.
You know, we only know old man Benny Hill chasing after naughty nurses.
Right.
From the Benny Hill show.
Right.
Not young Benny Hill. When I read that man was Benny Hill, I was just like, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's exactly who he is.
Yep.
As a little kid, would have never put the two people together.
Nope.
The exterior shots of the scrumptious suite company were filmed at the Kempton Waterworks in Hamworth, London,
mm-hmm.
which is now the Kempton Steam Museum.
Oh, cool.
You know, coming off of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and their steampunky, dieselpunky aesthetic. Oh, cool. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Robert Heltman, the actor portraying the child catcher, loved working with the kids. He spent, you know, breaks and lunches just making the kids laugh.
Oh my goodness.
He was having the time of his life.
Okay.
Pierre Picton, known as Pierre the Clown, drove the car in the long shots because Dick Van Dyke could only drive an automatic engine, which is the most American thing I heard about this whole movie. We're not going to talk about the accents in this movie. Every single person had a different accent.
They did. Absolutely. But you don't notice stuff like that.
I did.
Okay.
Pierre Picton also bought the car from Cubby Broccoli in 1972.
Oh, cool.
Cubby is the nickname for Albert R. Broccoli, the producer.
Yes.
Anne Rogers was originally earmarked for the role of Truly Scrumptious.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
In the original novel, by Ian Fleming, the story is set in present time.
Yes. Yes, that is correct.
The movie is set around 1910.
Right.
James Robertson Justice, is that his name? Or did I write it down wrong? I might have written it down wrong. Anyways, that guy, James Robertson Justice, had a stroke shortly after filming had ended and eventually had to give up acting, and he died penniless after a bankruptcy in 1975.
Oh my gosh. So maybe something did happen to the movies in the 70s.
I don't know.
Oh dear. Wow.
And the last thing I wrote, this is interesting to me as a kid from the 90s. In 1990, somebody tried to buy the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car at a charity rally off Pierre Picton.
Uh-huh.
For £500,000, which is about $608,000.
Yeah.
But Picton didn't want to sell to them because he wanted the car to remain in the UK. Do you want to guess who would have been asking to buy the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car in 1990?
Bill Gates?
No.
No.
Michael Jackson.
No!
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. He wanted it for his ranch.
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah, that because that first auction was not too long after that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
A ton more trivia, a lot of paragraph form. You know, I'm not writing paragraph form.
Right. Right.
Down the stuff that was interesting to me.
Right. Right. You know, I get it. That's what, when I'm doing stuff, I only write down stuff that is interesting to me.
Okay, good.
You know, so maybe there's a ton more that I should have written down, but I found all of this stuff interesting.
Yeah.
Because it always sets me on a chase, you know. What's this mean? Oh, so I go read about that. And then I got to read about something else, and, you know, it's the rabbit hole. And, oh, you got to focus on what you're doing. Get back to that. It's terrible.
Right.
But I love doing that. I love reading about stuff. So, yeah.
So, cool. Yeah, if you want to read more about the making of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, go to any trivia section or Wikipedia. I'm sure you'll find something interesting.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was all very interesting. The James Bond of it all.
Yes, how closely aligned it is with James Bond stuff. I never knew that. I didn't know that. But I thought that's kind of cool.
I don't think James Bond would dress up as a marionette to save children, though.
No. No, because he came out of the water how many times in a wetsuit and stripped that off and was in a perfectly pressed tuxedo. So absolutely not. He would not be a marionette.
No, with a mop wig.
He could have, though. That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
But no, that's not James Bond. But I thought in this movie it was perfect.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. I have loved this movie. I first saw this movie in a theater. I had babysat my cousins, and when my aunt brought me home, we stopped at the movies on the way home, and it was at the cinemas over on Secor Road that are no longer there.
Yeah.
But back then they were, you know, flashy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I got to see this movie at the cinema with one of my favorite aunts. So I thought, this has always been a favorite of mine.
I watched the hell out of this as a child.
Because I liked it.
So, you know, this holds a special place in my heart. Because it's just such a sweet movie. You know, even the love story is nice.
Yes.
You know.
It's not mushy.
Yeah. It's pragmatic.
Yeah.
It's not, it didn't feel forced. It didn't feel rushed.
Nope.
It's, you know, it's not, ew, they're kissing.
Right.
It's like, aw.
Well, they only kissed that one time, didn't they?
Yeah, but still.
And that's enough. Yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it. This is, I think, just a lovely movie.
It is.
If you're a Mary Poppins fan, watch this.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a nice movie.
And young Dick Van Dyke. Very handsome.
Yes. Yes. And Dick Van Dyke's been in the news this last few weeks.
Because he's a billion years old.
Well, he will be, we looked, he will be 100 at the end of December. I looked for it. I thought, because one of his things was he wouldn't mind if he died before he was 100. I thought, what? Isn't he going to be like 100 soon? Yeah, by the end of December, he'll be 100. But then, you know, he's had a lot of trials and tribulations this last year with his house burning down and, you know, in the fires and stuff. Probably been a rough year for him.
Yeah. But he got married a couple years ago. They've been married a long time.
Yeah, I don't think it was a couple of years.
13.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah. She's like 50.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, didn't we just talk about that?
Which I find disgusting.
Yes.
You know, she's wheeling her grandpa out to the shows.
Right. I don't get it, but, you know, I don't know nothing. But I guess if you got money, you can do that kind of stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Just what do you have to talk about?
That's just it. I mean,
when there's such a big age difference, what do you have to talk about? A
couple of generations. That, you know, that even at 50, that's like great grandpa years.
Yeah.
You know, what's there to chat about? You know, you can't talk about movie videos or, you know, which housewife do you like best? I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, you're even too old to be the Golden Bachelor when you're 99.
Yeah.
Come on. Whatever. What? You never know. Love is blind, baby.
Well, I think love's favorite color is green.
Well, yes. Or silver or gold.
Yeah. We're being honest.
Favorite stone is diamond. I get it. But, you know, what do you know? Got to be something there.
Yeah.
Keep them together for 13 years, so. But we don't know nothing.
Yeah, good for them. You know. What's it like to be happy?
I will never know. Ouch. That's craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Should we do our deaths now?
Yeah.
John Lodge at 82. I didn't see a cause of death.
Okay.
He was a musician.
Was that the Moody Blues guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. And shocker of all shockers, I didn't even believe it when I first saw it. Diane Keaton at 79.
Yeah.
And it's coming out that she died from pneumonia. She had had a short illness. Sudden illness.
They said short, sudden illness, but they said that in the days before she'd passed, she was very thin and frail. And I'm wondering, pneumonia is usually, you know, the baseline killer for cancer and AIDS. And
Oh. So
did she have cancer?
Oh.
And the pneumonia got her first?
That could be.
Especially with reports of her being thin and frail.
Yeah. Yeah, but her children aren't all that old. She just adopted them.
Yeah.
Very recently.
Yeah.
A son and a daughter.
Yeah, I saw that. But the son is like 25, and I was just like, what the hell?
They're adults, yes. But yeah, she just, you know, hasn't been that long. She did lots of movies with Woody Allen.
Gross.
She directed episodes of Twin Peaks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And she met Justin Bieber on a talk show and then did a movie video with him, or a music video with him.
Shit.
She it said she loved Instagram.
Okay.
She dated beautiful men all through her life, and she certainly did.
Al
Pacino and Warren Beatty.
With the exception of Woody Allen.
Yeah, well.
He's never been a good-looking man, regardless of how highly he thinks of himself.
Right. But Al Pacino and Warren Beatty, wow.
Al Pacino said that she was the one that got away.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She was never interested in marriage, though. She said that that wasn't for her. But then in later life, she thought that children would be a good idea.
Yeah. Hey, and she can afford it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's, you know, sudden to me.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, I'm going to wait and see it on the news. And I was just like, TMZ's already reporting it. TMZ is never wrong.
I know. I know, but I still waited. I still waited. I didn't want to think that.
Yeah. Nope, TMZ is never wrong.
You are correct. Well, they can't afford to be wrong. I mean, come on. Susan Kendall Newman at 72, Paul Newman's daughter from his first wife. She was on Broadway, movies, TV. She acted and directed. But she was most notably an activist, like her father. She was looking for a better world. She died from chronic illness, which 72, it's a crime that you have chronic illness.
Yeah.
Then just the other day, Ace Frehley at 74.
Yeah.
Complications from a fall.
My friend Deborah is devastated. She is a huge Kiss fan.
I can't even imagine. What did he fall from that caused? Well, you know what? You can just trip and get a little bump on your head and get, you know, die from a fall.
Yeah.
Your head is so delicate. But yeah, 74.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Susan Stamberg from at 87. She was a journalist. She started. She did a lot of stuff in news as a woman way back when. She did, you know, she was one of the first women, but because she went into public TV, we don't know her like Barbara Walters and names like that.
Yeah.
But she started in 1972. She started a show that I watch today or listen to. The show is called All Things Considered. She started that show back in 1972.
Oh, I hate that show. Driving in mom's car is awful.
You can turn the radio. It's okay. It turns back. I know. I never wanted to listen to public radio ever. And then I started listening to Michigan radio, and I like it.
It's terrible.
I know. I'm sorry. And I don't listen to that. We have a public radio station here at UT. The University of Toledo has their public, but they play all that freaking classical music all the goddamn time.
Oh, no. Last time I listened to it, which admittedly has been years ago, but they had rebranded and they were playing like a doo-wop. It was like 50s era doo-wop music.
Every time I turn it on, it's classical music.
Okay. I
hate classical music.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
So I don't listen. I listen to Michigan radio and I like it. Let's see. Ed Williams, he was an actor. Died at 98. He was on Naked Gun, Police Squad, lots of stuff.
Yeah.
He had one of those faces that he could do anything.
Yep.
And then Lex just told me this morning, I am so sad. Nutmeg the Cat from Rashonda's TikToks and Instagram and all kinds of stuff. I'm sick about this because that was such a sweet little cat.
Yeah.
But apparently something had gone wrong. He was only five.
She? Yeah. Yeah, they think she had a lesion on her brain and she turned violent.
Oh.
And Rashonda's got, she's got her, she's got a multi-generational house. Some of her children live with her.
Yes.
Her mother lives with her. Her mother is battling dementia.
Oh, dear.
She's got all these people that, they can't be getting in a fight with a cat.
No, and cats don't have reasoning brains.
No.
They don't understand that they're not well. They're animals. They don't know that. And having to put down an animal is both horrendous and a blessing because they don't know how to cope with that.
Yeah.
And it's horrendous for the person that has to make that decision. You know that.
Yeah.
I know that. Anyone who has ever had a pet knows that. But you have to do what's best for the pet.
Yeah.
And she did what was best for the pet, and I feel great sympathy for her. I mean, I watch her all the time. I think she is wonderful.
Her hot takes. Oh. I love them. No kitten heels.
When she goes up to that whiteboard and she starts making diagrams, oh my goodness.
My favorite one is where she's wearing the big fur coat and she's giving directions. She's like, you know, at this tree, you're gonna make a sharp left. And she's like, and at this thing, you're gonna make another sharp left. And right here is where you got me fucked up.
My goodness, I love her, but I feel so much sympathy for her because I know how it feels to have to let go.
And Nutmeg was only five.
Only five.
So, you know.
Wow. And so I thank God that I have my 11-year-old cat at home.
Absolutely. And Jelly's 13.
Unbelievable.
No, he's 12. Jelly's 12.
Yeah. I remember the day you got him.
Yeah.
He was such a tiny little giraffe baby.
Yeah.
His legs were so long.
He was all legs. All legs and head.
Yep.
Just a little tiny body.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yep.
Yep. So, much love to her.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's
hard.
Never what you want to do.
Nope. Nope. And my cat is my everything.
Yeah.
I get it. It's hard when your pet is your everything.
Yeah, and this little gang, my little Shuby gang,
I can't even imagine.
It wouldn't be the same without one of them.
Nope, not at all. And then that day we saw Tallulah for the first time,
She told me she had to come home with me.
Yes, when she stretched out her arm to you. It was over.
Yep.
It was completely over.
Yep. Oh, and Justin was furious. Justin was so mad. Mm. You bought a cat. You went there and you were going to buy a cat. You knew you were going to buy a cat. You bought a girl cat. What's that going to do to the boys? I don't know.
We didn't go there for you to buy a cat. We went there for me to buy a cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then Reginald came into my life and he was a beautiful little boy.
He is beautiful. He's majestic.
I think so. I think so. But I can't even imagine without him.
Yeah.
Gosh damn, sometimes I'd love to be without him. 1 o'clock at night. 3 o'clock at night. 4 o'clock at night.
Yeah. I felt like a criminal in bed this morning because Lula kept coming up and meowing in my face, just her sweet little face just waking me up, meowing at me. And I roll over and I give her some rubs and I'm like, okay,
lay down, baby.
And I tell her that, and she came 4 or 5 times.
Oh.
And I was just like, Do I not have an alarm set today? Because I had to go out and feed my other cats. So, like, I have an alarm set.
Your street cats.
my office cats. And I was like, did I sleep through it? Did it not go off? What the hell goddamn time is it? And when my alarm went off, I was just like, I feel like she has come to bed 50 million times. Like, just, and I feel like Justin has not been gone that long. So, like,
what is going on?
I don't know. She must have been coming on the half hours then.
Oh, jeez. And I can't shut the door. I can't shut the door to Reginald.
No.
He does not understand that.
Uh-uh. Because Jelly will throw himself at the door to try and open it.
Oh, no.
And she's a scratcher. She will scratch at the door until you open
it. Oh. Oh, dear.
And Ash doesn't know how to open doors. He'll just sit outside and yell. So between the three of them, no peace.
Are you in there, Mom?
No sleeping.
Nope.
And then, nope. You know, there's that camp of people like, oh, you let your cats in your bed with you? It's their bed. They allow me to come to bed with them.
I get the little corner on the edge. The rest of it's for him. What do you mean? And yes, they get on the
couch.
Furniture.
Yeah.
And
they'd drive the car if I'd let them.
Absolutely. You know when you're sleeping, they are driving the damn car.
I feel like it.
Good grief.
We were just talking about that the other day, that this has been Lula has been the queen of the house since the minute she figured out there was more house than her quarantine.
Uh-huh.
Because when we got Lula, she had ear mites, and we didn't want that spread to the boys, so we kept her in a room. We had a litter box and toys and food and water, and we had a little bed. Justin set up a little twin bed in there that his dad had given him, but it was only the mattress. And that mattress was so thin, you were basically on the floor. It was awful. So she wasn't in there alone the whole time.
Right.
But she figured out how to get out of there real quick.
Yeah, she did not want to stay in the little room.
And
she had that window she could see out of, and I'm not staying in here. There's too much going on out there.
Uh-huh.
There's other cats.
Yeah. And she's ruled the roost ever since.
Yep. Yep. Since she burst out of that room, it's been her house.
Yep.
And she literally burst out of that room.
She really did.
But she was ready.
Yeah.
Ready or not, here I come.
Yep.
It's okay. She's a sweet, sweet baby.
Yep. She has given Ash a couple scratches on his face. And
oh, no.
I hate that for him, but
he's too much of a gentleman to thump his sister.
And she fights with Jelly all the time, and Jelly's like, ah! And she's just like, she'll just like run after him and just like start thumping him. And Jelly's just like, what do I do? And I'm like, hit her back!
Yeah.
What are you doing? So you're twice as big as her. Hit her back.
Yes.
I'm not fucking with you if you hit her back a couple times. And Jelly's just such a good boy. He won't do it.
It's just not the way it goes. That's not the way it goes.
He's so sweet.
He is. He's a good, good boy. Plus, he don't want to put up with her shit. He just want to get away from her.
I said, you got to show her who Mean Bean is. And he's just like, I don't know who Mean Bean is.
That would be true.
My baby.
Because he's not Mean Bean.
Mm-mm.
No. No. But we do. We love our pets.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have kids. These are my life.
Yep.
This is, you know, I come home. I take care of a man. I take care of cats.
Yep.
That's what I do.
And then you go to work and take care of a whole herd of cats.
There were like six or seven a day.
Oh, geez.
And what little one has taken to running towards my car when I pull in?
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I get it. You know, I'm real careful. I creep in. Hi, baby. How you doing? Let's get you some food.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
He lets me get pretty close, but doesn't let me touch him. And uh-uh. And Creep's, I don't know what's going on with Creepo. Creepo's mad at me or something. He hasn't been here.
Oh, dear.
In a few days.
Has he moved away?
No. Because he'll come and talk to Justin every once in a while. And once in a while, I'll see him. But I see Creamsicle more.
He's a man's man.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's because I gave him those rubs on Labor Day.
Oh.
I'm sure of it.
It's too much.
Yeah.
You overstepped your...
She's going to touch me.
She thinks it's all right now.
She's probably going to try and put me in her house.
No, that's Creamsicle's job.
Oh.
Creamsicle just wants to come in. That's what you get for feeding cats on your porch, plus the raccoon.
Oh.
Good Lord.
That raccoon, I had to hiss at that raccoon. And then I was leaving for work and I heard something scuttle up towards the breezeway.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what in the hell? Because, you know, it's dark as shit when I leave the house.
Right.
And so I'm fighting with my phone, trying to turn my flashlight on. It was a possum.
Oh,
get out of here.
Jeez.
And it ran back into the bushes when I rounded my car and got in it. It was
good.
Like, no, the bush is right here. No.
Yeah, but that's away from your car, so.
Well, yeah, but don't.
Yikes.
Don't go near my porch, please.
Right. Right. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And all I got's a squirrel that keeps eating my tomatoes and peppers. Yeah, we've got a lot of cats in our neighborhood, so I don't generally see possums or raccoons.
Hmm.
Or deer, even.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen all those here.
Like you see here. Yeah, so... I don't know. Craziness. Craziness.
Justin says he doesn't work next Saturday, so I'm going to take him with me when I go to the office. He gets a little kick out of that.
Aww. Fun.
Yeah. I bought another bag of cat food today, so I got a bag, you know, because I was getting food out the other morning, and I had to stop and get another bag. The little cat that comes up is like, what are you doing? I'm like, baby, I got to open another bag.
And I brought that half a bag of food, and mixed into that half a bag are some treats that Reg won't eat.
Oh, okay.
So I just mixed them into that bag of food.
Yeah, that's fine.
Somebody will eat them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, we're just coming down to the end of a bag today, so.
Put that in your car. It's just a... Reg has kind of quit eating that food, but Reg has quit eating everything that he eats, so.
Yeah.
I need to find another kibble that he'll like. Fancy Feast makes a kibble also.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I'll try that.
Okay.
See if that appeals to him.
Yeah, I've been feeding them Purina Beyond. Is that what's in that bag?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm going to feed it to these guys.
Oh, okay. Yes, that is Beyond probably salmon.
Okay. Yeah, they like
might
that.
Might be the salmon. Oh, yeah, if they'll eat it, absolutely. Plus, when they get a nibble and they find a treat in there,
yeah,
they're going to think they died and went to heaven.
Uh-huh. I know this guy will.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's what that is. That is the last of the Beyond.
Okay.
And I still have a few cans of Beyond at home I'm just going to keep.
Yeah.
Just in case he decides he doesn't want to eat what he's eating now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, we talked about what we're going to do next movie-wise, because we're running out of mom favorites. We're going to double up on mine.
Yep, we have extra movies of Lexi's. So we're going to do two of hers.
So we're going to watch Ready Player One next week.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Okay. I remember when it came out. It hasn't been out all that long.
No, and it's got a sequel. The books have, you know, there's a book series.
Yes.
So I've never read them. But I feel like the movie is just so exciting.
Okay.
So.
They're inside of a video game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's really
well
the extent of my knowledge of this movie.
It starts out as the boy that is behind the keyboard, and then he's the boy in the game, and then he's the boy out, you know, behind the keyboard, and then he's the boy in the game. It's a whole, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
well, I'm excited about it. Stuff
is happening in the game that is getting him noticed, and so, like, you know, people are coming after him in real life.
Sounds like something we've never seen before.
It's great.
You know, something different than what we have been watching.
Yeah.
Not that we watch anything the same, but, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be fun for something different.
Yeah. And then we're going to watch Totally Awesome.
Okay.
It's a parody movie of 80s classics, you know, like Footloose and Soul Man is in there, which Soul Man is a movie that could not get remade today.
Okay. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I think. Something different. I mean, these are different movies than we've watched, so I think it's fun.
Yeah, we'll have fun.
Yeah, these last few movies, the five of them, have been interesting. Are they insight into us?
I don't know.
Nah, I'm not that deep.
I was going to say,
maybe you, because you can watch some kind of interesting movies. Me, not so much.
Yeah, I wouldn't think about it.
Yeah, no. Nope. No insight. We just like what we like.
Yep.
And it just kind of happens organically.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I haven't been paying attention to the news, so I don't know what's going on in Toledo. You are correct when we watched the last movie that the Apple Butter Festival was going on, and it was. So we missed that.
Well, did we, though?
No, you know what? I love apple butter, but I can buy it at Kroger's.
Yeah.
I don't have to go down there with a million people and elbow my way to the booth to buy some.
Yeah.
Yes. You're correct. But if I had kids, that's a great place to go. We never went, but it'd be a great place to go.
Sure.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. So I really don't know. I've been watching the news lately. I don't know. I keep falling down the TikTok hole or the Facebook Reels hole. And I look up and it's like 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock at night. I should have been in bed 2 hours ago.
Have you ever gotten those TikToks that are like, you know, you should get up and walk around and, you know, drink of water?
I just real scroll. But as soon as I can see them, I scroll past them. Hey, do you need a rest? No. No, go away. I get them all the time. But as soon as I see them, I scroll through them real fast. And surely there's something more interesting on.
No.
No, there isn't. It's all,
no.
It's all stupid, but I love it. I love it. Oh, my goodness. I love that craziness that is called TikTok.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I sent you a couple good ones today.
Oh, yay. I came over as soon as I woke up. So I haven't seen TikTok today.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Yeah. But yeah, I've been falling in that hole and haven't been keeping up with the news. Although it's turning a little coldish.
Yeah.
It's, we have mornings in the 40s and afternoons in the 70s. So maybe winter is coming to Ohio?
Maybe. Maybe we'll finally get to watch The Shining.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so, but we'll keep thinking about it.
Okay.
You know, we haven't had snow in so long. We're supposed to get some rain tonight, but they're only talking an inch or so.
Oh.
Which is not going to help our drought situation.
No.
It's kind of going above us, I think. But other places are getting lots of rain today, but not us.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's it. This could be a short one, Lexi. I ain't got nothing.
No, I think I've said enough.
Okay. All right.
Go find this movie. Go find Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It is streaming in a couple places. Go. It's worth the watch. It is a long watch, but it's worth it.
It is.
Especially if you haven't seen it in a while.
Right.
It still holds up.
It's a beautiful movie.
It's great.
Yep.
And we'll be back with Ready Player One.
Yay.
All right, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.